You're listening to the Corporate Expat Experience.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. You know when you meet someone and you instantly click, and then you start to realize that you have even more in common than you knew at first? Well, that's what happened when my guest today, Jack White, and I first met. We had a great conversation, and then we were scheduled to record about a week ago, and we ended up chatting for like an hour. We had such a great conversation and that we knew we had to come back and record this episode. So I am really excited about today to introduce you to Jack. She started her career working for companies like Armani Exchange and the New York Times. And then she jumped to working with startups, working at Daily Candy and LearnVest before becoming CEO of her own venture-backed company. Now Jack is an advisor, an angel investor, and today we're not only going to discuss her background and her transition from corporate to entrepreneur like we always do, but also about incorporating partnerships and alliances into your business. And we're going to address that big question that keeps coming up for many entrepreneurs: do I need to raise VC money for my business? So let's get started. I'm really excited. Jack, welcome.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to talk to you and to tape this podcast. I agree. When we spoke last week, I just feel like we had so many things in common and so many of the same passions and desire to help small business owners. And so I'm really excited to dig into it with you today.
Yes. Well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about you and what you're up to.
Yeah. So I am the founder of Honeybees Group. We are advisory and consulting business for VC-backed startups and small owners. We help our companies in three key ways. Strategic planning, which is helping to build new business models, revenue streams. A big part of our work is on business development and partnerships for growth. I completely believe in businesses collaborating and coming together to help all parties and their customers. And on email marketing, I am bullish on email. And I think that it's an amazing way for companies to grow their business and engage with their audience. We work with what I call our baby startups, which are early stage pre-revenue companies. And then we have our teenager companies who have been around the block a few times and are trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up. And so we cycle back in and help them.
Oh, I love that. I love that analogy there of the kids and the teenagers. That's fantastic. Well, so let's go back and let's talk about your corporate career, because that's where everything starts. So give us a little bit of your journey in corporate. Let's talk about that.
Sure. I think I've been really fortunate to have worked for very strong, big brands. And what was really interesting about my journey is I always found myself in an innovation role within a larger company. So even while I was in a corporate position, I was always sort of in a startup within a company. So at Armani Exchange, I helped launch their e-commerce department. And this is, you know, over 20 years ago. Now we buy everything online. This is at the time when we were, you know, fulfilling orders out of stores and putting things in FedEx boxes and taking them to the post office. And so really sort of innovating for a retail company in a way that they didn't do before. And then I moved into publishing at the New York Times and worked for NewYorkTimes.com and helped build their business development and client services team. And again, you know, this huge 100-year-old legacy brand, but on a new sort of the new frontier of publishing on the internet, and something that, you know, everyone was doing, but we were all trying to figure it out. And so when I moved from the corporate world into the startup world or the small business world, it was actually a really fantastic transition. It was sort of, you know, it was scary and exciting at the same time, because you're sort of leaving behind the comfort and the insulation of a big company, but really getting to be all hands on deck and focus on innovation and growth in a way that sometimes you're limited at big companies from being able to do.
That's amazing. And so you're working in these startup environments, really, even in the corporate world. And I did something very similar, so I'm familiar with that. But then you decided to go out on your own. How did that happen?
I think, one of the most important things that I sort of ask myself as I make these decisions is really, what do I want out of my life right now? And what are the things that I want to learn right now? Because I think, especially in our career, we become really focused on getting to the next level and making the more money and getting to the next level and getting the bigger title. And, someone gave me advice really early on that I'm grateful that I held on to, which is, don't be so focused on the title in the beginning, be really focused on building the muscles that you want to learn and get the experience that you think is going to be able to help you in the long run. And so that's why if you look at sort of the companies that I've worked at in the career path, it doesn't always seem so linear, but what I learned at each company really prepared me to do my own thing. And so, being able to work in sales, I think is so important for any business owner, regardless of what you do, being able to sell your product, having operational experience, because, you are an operator when you own your own company. And so I always used consulting as sort of my in-between full-time gigs. And during the pandemic, I found myself consulting for actually a really long period of time out of necessity and realized that my ability to make an impact for small businesses and in the startup world was really fantastic by getting to work with a bunch of different companies as opposed to working for one brand in-house. And so I sort of shifted my perspective on what this next phase of my career was going to look like and decided, hey, I have a skill set that I can package and create that really serves a business need for a lot of people who are running fantastic businesses that I'm excited about. And so I took a leap to, come out and do it on my own and leverage the network that I've built over the 20 plus years of working.
That's amazing. Amazing experience and amazing way to frame it and to think about it. Let's talk about the work you're doing now with Honeybees.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I am most excited about what we're doing is really helping business owners grow their businesses through organic partnerships and business development relationships. I think there's a lot of clutter out there in terms of what you need to do to build a marketing team, build and grow a company. And I think, I look back to coming from a family that had small businesses and sort of how we used to do it in the old days. And it was a lot of collaborating and working together and finding ways to partner with other brands to either create new products, share offerings, grow your business. And so I really like getting to, get in with our founders and small business owners that we work with, understand their business and understand who their customer is, what their goals are, what their product offerings are, and find creative ways to drive their business in a way that is impactful, is immediate, and isn't resource heavy for them, because you are running a small business and you need to be mindful of, investment, both in time and money to get things off the ground.
Absolutely. And we see in the corporate world, partnerships and alliances, so important, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see different brands partnering together for special launches. Or, you go to any big company and you look at their alliance and partnership page and they have tons of them, right? Even so much that they're building out ecosystems of different partners so they can all work together. Right. A lot of people don't think about that for their small businesses, but it's so important. And you and I had talked about this. So that's something that I know we're both passionate about.
It's true. And I work with some small companies who, you know, when we suggest partners that they might consider working with, and they say, oh no, that's my competitor. I would never want to work with them. We're at odds with each other. And I think, well, dig into that a little bit. Why do you think that is? Because I often think your competitor is not actually your competitor when you dig in and start to see what they're doing, how they're doing it, the nuance of what they're talking about. And a lot of the companies we work with are sort of new to market companies. And so they're building categories or they're opening up new products for the first time in the market. And I think that's a great example of when you should be collaborating with people that are in your space, because together you can make more noise in terms of education, splash on the marketplace, and find creative ways to share and grow. And as long as you have clear guidelines around, you know, what that is, I think it can be really successful for all parties and really serve your customers' needs as well. Even if it's not, you know, distributing products, but creating content that educates the marketplace around why this category is really important and what types of products and services are available to meet the customer's needs, and both of your messages and products are offered as a solution. I think, you know, when you think about business development and partnerships, a lot of times we go to these big corporate examples that are years in the making, lots of technology and investment and lawyers. And you think, oh, I can't do that. I just am one person. I'm five people. I don't have the resources for that. I think there are a lot of really simple ways to collaborate with people that are impactful. And the key is to get started. The key, you know, like anything else, the key is to start, to take the initiative, to do something, to test and to not be afraid to fail. Because when you test and you learn, then you can do it a little bit better the next time and you can build on it and you have a baseline to keep going.
Absolutely. And with partnerships too, looking at possibly things that are complementary, other businesses that may be complementary services to your business. That would be another one to consider.
Absolutely. I mean, that's sort of the more typical one is, you know, different product, same target market, or, same target market, complementary product. And so how do you potentially bundle and package, do a sweepstakes to share email newsletter lists, or do a social media swap, do an Instagram live. There are so many ways to start the process of collaborating and sharing content and building business relationships brand to brand that I think can be really beneficial in growing. You know, the first step might just be growing your brand awareness, and, you know, getting in front of new eyeballs. That's another thing we talk a lot about that I think is important, is at the beginning, when you think about partnerships, you have to have a real clear goal in mind in terms of what you're trying to do. There's no limit to how many ways and how many people you can partner with. But I think you need to be really clear about what it is exactly you're trying to achieve to make sure you are creating the right opportunities for yourself, because there is an investment, whether it's time or money, it's still an investment. And so you want to make sure that what you're doing has a return on that investment, right? And that starts with having a real clear goal of, you know, what exactly you're trying to do. Some of the things that I think collaborations and partnerships are good at is, you know, number one, building brand awareness. Some of the things we talked about, social media swapping, Instagram lives, Twitter spaces are really great at that. Growing your email database or your customer database through sweepstakes or content swaps in your email newsletters. I think if you want to do product market fit testing or bundling of products, that's a great way to collaborate with other brands. If you have a physical good or service to sell, is, you know, finding like-minded brands, complementary products that you can, you know, test bundle and sell. So there's a ton of ways I think partnerships can be really beneficial to people, depending on what your product is. If it's a coaching or service-based company, building a referral network can be really beneficial for you. And that's a type of business development relationship that I don't think people, you know, often maximize or think about as a way to, you know, bring new people into your ecosystem.
And I think also when you're looking at partnerships, potential alliances, to look at alignment of values is
absolutely
really important. A lot of times people just seem to focus on, oh, I want to get this logo or this brand name or this person in, but maybe taking a moment and making sure that there's some alignment there is something I think people should do.
Absolutely. I think that is such a fantastic point. Making sure you're, you know, there's some risk in partnering with other brands. And so I think you bring up a really good point, Nicole, making sure that the value alignment is there is really important, because, you know, what you don't want to do is align yourself with a brand that doesn't have the same values as you, because, you know, part of what you're doing is lending credibility and trust to each other and from each other. And so if that value and integrity of the brand isn't there, that also rubs off.
Absolutely. Or it could just be a mismatch. And that's mm-hmm. where I think I've seen some of the hesitation around doing it, the excitement about the brand name, but then, you know, there's a hesitation mm-hmm. also to make sure it's a right partnership. So yes. taking a yes. moment to go through some of these suggestions that you've made yeah. would be really helpful for anyone considering alliances, which I think can be so powerful.
So powerful. We have something called our deal filter. And a part of that is the exercise is, you know, what are our brand values and what do we value in other brands? And so, you know, do they align with our mission? Do they align with, you know, our goals? And so I think that point is super valid.
I love that you do that with your clients. Yeah, I think it's so powerful. It's also taking those best lessons learned and best practices from your corporate experience and bringing it to your business now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Corporate companies, I think, do that so well. I mean, they are really clear on mission, impact, sustainability, you know, all the key pillars. And so I think, you know, just by nature of small businesses, you know, you're doing so much with so little that some of that really important work falls away. But when you can focus on it and pay a little bit of attention, I think everything you do becomes stronger and more focused.
And I think working with you, that's one of the huge benefits and values is to your point, yeah. small business owners have so much going on and wearing so many hats, yeah. but going to an yeah. expert in this is incredibly helpful to be able to refine that messaging, that vision, whatever you need to work on, mm-hmm. very important to do. Let's shift gears a little bit here and talk about raising, because this is something that comes yes. up all the time with clients and in conversations that I'm having. The big question is, do I need VC funds? Do I need to raise? How do I do it? The whole thing. But let's just talk about going to the initial question, do I need to?
Yeah, I think it's such an important question. And I think there are very clear cases where raising VC money is instrumental to being able to grow your business in the way you need to grow it. If you are building a tech-heavy platform, you know, something in healthcare, biotech, right? There are certain businesses that just require a ton of infrastructure and development work and R&D, and that's super expensive, but also has big return potential. That's great for a VC. That's totally in line with a lot of VC investment thesis. I think where I, you know, try to have really honest conversations with people is in two ways. One is to your point earlier around values alignment, not necessarily for your business, but for you personally. What do you want out of this business that you started? What kind of control do you want over your business? What is your long-term goal for this business? And you know, number two is, how and what do you think raising VC money is going to help you get there or not? You know, venture capital is a fairly new concept in terms of, you know, the life of businesses. And I'm an angel investor. I talk to early stage founders all of the time. I'm a part of a lot of women's investing groups. And so I, you know, fully believe in raising capital to help your business grow. But I also am a really strong believer in building sustainable businesses that you own that create livelihood for you and your family. I think Gary Vaynerchuk talks about this in a really impactful and powerful way, where he says, you know, the goal isn't to get rich necessarily. The goal is to be happy doing what you're doing and growing something that serves a greater good. And, you know, I talked to some founders and business owners who have had a great business for 10 years and they've bootstrapped this business and they're perfectly happy doing that. And they provide, you know, a great living for themselves. But there's a lot of buzz around VC money and who's raising the most, where is it coming from, who's showing up on the cover of these entrepreneurial magazines. And I think, you know, sometimes you get caught up in, this is what I should be doing for my business. And like I said, there are a lot of strong cases for when that is true. But I think there's also something really beautiful about growing a business. And it's also why I think business development and partnerships are so important, because there's a lot of ways to collaborate with small businesses and large companies in a way that gives you investment and infrastructure support that doesn't include giving away equity or taking on, you know, a ton of capital. And so I think depending on what you're trying to do, there are a lot of creative solutions to growing your business outside of raising capital. And anyone who's raised venture capital knows that that's a full-time job in and of itself, especially in this environment. So be prepared to put the rest of your business on hold for quite a few months if that's what, you know, you're planning on doing.
That's such a good point, because people think, oh, I'm going to go pitch and I'm going to get all this money. And some people, you know, only look at the success stories of Shark Tank, getting capital. They don't realize how much work goes into the whole raise process.
Yes, it's so true. It is. It's rightfully so. I mean, if you're giving someone millions of dollars, there's some due diligence that, you know, needs to go along with that, if we've learned nothing else over the past few months. But it is a very daunting, labor intensive process. And so I think people also really underestimate what it takes to raise capital. And they think it's sort of going to put a few slides together, meet a few people and raise a few million dollars. And it's just, unfortunately, not that simple.
I don't want to scare anyone off from doing that, but I want them to get real. And that's why I like your insight and your guidance on this, because you do have to get real about it. It's not just, let's have a meeting, let me show you my beautiful pitch deck and you're going to hand me $1 million. Doesn't really work that way. That's only in the movies.
And I mean, for some people it does, if you have a track record, you know, it can work like that. I'm not going to say it never does. Sometimes it does, but it's not the norm. And I think, you know, the first question is, why do I feel like I need to raise this much money? If I am going to raise, how much am I going to raise? You know, there's, just like we do the deal filter for the business developments, there's a deal filter for, you know, do I want to raise and how much do I want to raise and what are all of the options I have for funding and supporting my business, with venture capital being one part of that, right? And so looking at things holistically in terms of how to get resources for your company.
That's fantastic. I love that insight. And you've raised before too. You had a venture-backed company.
Yes. So I speak from experience, and I had great VC partners and lots of support, and it was a great experience for me, but it is tough. I had a really small team. We were a really lean company, and, you know, raising is a distraction on the business. And so you have to, I think that was I didn't expect that when I was raising. I didn't expect how much time it would take away from actually running the business, because you're prepping for meetings, you're following up. There's a ton of due diligence. You're doing different growth scenarios based on, you know, all of the different inputs. It's really time consuming. But again, if you have a business that requires that, I think it's exactly the right thing to go for. But I think there are other ways to also grow great businesses.
And despite some of the challenges that we've seen in the markets recently and in the past year, one of the things that I've been hearing in my conversations, there are still investments happening. So that's the good
Absolutely.
News. There are funds that are looking for great projects, great businesses to get involved with. So definitely have a think about it. If it's something that you feel strongly about, do your due diligence, figure out what you need, the resources, get advisement. That is one of the things that I share just in working with my clients, saying you want to get somebody to help you with this. Yeah. This is not necessarily something you just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to write.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And that's right. And I think, you know, we're in a healthy stage. I think even though it's scary and a lot of people feel like, you know, it's definitely harder to raise right now, I also think it forces companies to be smarter with their resources, and it forces investors to be tighter with their due diligence. And that's a healthy thing for us as an economy and as a small business community to go through. So, you know, I think great businesses with great teams and great missions and great opportunities will always be able to find funding somewhere. So I definitely think it's possible and it's out there. It's more a matter of, you know, doing the work and knowing the why.
And that's a great point, because, you know, you look back at down periods, right, where you've seen, you know, difficult economic times, but some of the biggest and strongest companies in the unicorns have risen out of them. And I almost wonder, as you were talking about this, is it perhaps because businesses had to work a little bit harder and the firms had to do much more rigorous due diligence, and the combination of those things actually helped with the success of the company as well?
Absolutely. I think when things are down, people have to get creative. They have to do more with less. And that breeds new ways of thinking. You're not falling on the old channels of ways to develop products and grow market share. You have to really get creative, and like looping that back to strategic planning, business development, partnerships for growth, you know, it's sort of one leads into the other. And I think that lean times breed innovation, and that's always good for business.
Absolutely. That's a good quote. I like that.
Yeah.
So looking back, if there is something that you could tell yourself as an early entrepreneur, one piece of critical advice, what would you tell yourself?
I think lean in and build your community early. At points in my career, did a better job at holding on and fostering those relationships with coworkers, mentors, mentees, that, you know, people who, you know, were looking to me for advice than I did in other times. And sort of in the past few years, I've come to really fully understand the value of my community and my network and how important it's been to me professionally, but also personally. A lot of my great friends are people that came from my work life. I think we're living in this time where it's not about work life and home life. We're finding new ways to, you know, we're finally seeing each other as whole people, which is a great thing. But, you know, building your community, building your network, developing those relationships, and really coming to them from a place of service. I never ask someone if they can help me without also saying, how can I help you? And so I think being really deliberate about those relationships that happen to come to you, and then being deliberate about the relationships that you want to go out and foster and build.
Such good advice. And I'm with you on that. It's I see too many times people going out and they're just shaking hands and getting cards and I'll get back to you, and they never do anything with it. And I think those are unfortunate. That's not what networking is about. It's really building those relationships and keeping in touch with people, good times and bad. It's not always about selling to them or what they can do for you. But I like what you said, always asking, how can I help as well? Oh, that's really great advice. I always ask, though, one thing is there anything you miss about the corporate world? I always have to bring that in.
This is maybe an unpopular opinion, but I miss going into the office sometimes. I miss it because I had really great senior leaders who were advocates for me that would pull me into meetings and say, sit here and don't say anything and just soak it all in. And then I was lucky enough to get to a point where I could do that with other people. And I feel like coming out of the pandemic, we're finding our footing a little bit in terms of what hybrid work looks like. And I think, one, not being in the corporate world, and two, not going into an office, in real life, connection is still really important. And I think especially for people who are more early in their career, there's a huge opportunity to learn from people who have been doing this for a while. I want to make sure we continue to find a way to be mentors to mentees that are, coming up after us and are the next wave of business leaders.
Oh, that's so well said. Yeah, I see your point. I do agree on that.
But I love working from home too. I mean, I think there's a balance there, but I think we're still figuring out what that mix is.
So true. I think we're all figuring it out every day. The world is just changing at such a fast pace and trying to keep up. But it's exciting. And working with startups, I'm sure you, like me, just love the energy and the excitement and the innovation that comes along with it.
Yes, I love it. It feeds me. It really does.
So, Jack, let's talk about Honeybees and what you're doing right now and how people can find you and work with you and all of that good stuff.
Yes. So one of the things I am most excited about is Honeybees Group is actually launching a business development bootcamp. So having talked to hundreds and hundreds of small business owners and founders, I find that they are just such smart people running their companies and looking for solutions and ways to grow their business. And so we've taken a lot of the work that we do with our clients and have distilled it for a small group learning program that's going to be 8 weeks. We meet once a week, and we're really going to run through the foundational points of how to build business development partnerships and strategic partnerships. And so that's launching in May. You can go to honeybeesgroup.co/bootcamp and find information about that. And we would love to offer a special promotion to all of the podcast listeners. You can use code EXPAT to get a 20% discount off of that bootcamp. We also have a free email newsletter that we share tips and information and things that we find interesting in the entrepreneurial world. So if you go to honeybeesgroup.co, you can sign up for our free email newsletter, and you can respond to any of those newsletters, and it comes to me, and I can, I'm always happy to connect with people and set up time to chat and learn more about their business and offer some insight.
Oh, that's fantastic. What a great opportunity, because you have such great insights. And I love what you're teaching here. I love what you're doing, especially around the partnerships and alliances. I think it's so powerful, and it's something that is so often missed. With some guidance from an expert like you, oh, it's going to be magic.
Thank you.
Jack, thank you so much for being here. I love talking with you. I always have a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a ton of fun, and I hope that we get to do it again soon and meet up soon. I can't wait.
I would love to have you back on the podcast. Absolutely. And for those of you on, be sure to check out Jack's website, check out her newsletter, get on that subscription list. Tons of insights and really exciting things. Thank you, everyone, for listening today. Until the next time, bye for now. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support this podcast, please hit subscribe, leave a rating and review, share it with others, or post about it on social media. For show notes, links, to connect with guests and more, visit us at corporate-expat.com. And be sure to catch the next episode with more insights and inspiration to support your corporate expat experience. Bye for now.